Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Oh my gosh, can you people handle 3 weeks of good news? I'm having a hard time fitting in the bad news. Well, there's always some around. Maybe I get to it, maybe I don't, but my gosh, this is just, I don't know. It's just nothing in all of my years, and I have a few, that I've ever seen anything like this at the governmental level. I know it's a cliche, but we are drinking from a political fire hose here of what's going on. I do have a title. God gave me a title for this program just a little bit before hooking things up. It's called "Honey, I Shrunk the Government." And I just have to say, the role of Elon Musk was Chuck E. Cheese Schumer's out there saying he's got no authority, he's got no appointed office, he's got, I don't know, constitutional right to do this, he hasn't been elected, blah, 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 blah. Well, he's not been elected. So that's your argument because for him to be doing things, huh? How many cabinet members, Chuck E. Cheese, are elected? They're not. They're appointed. And then he'll probably say, yeah, but they were subject to Senate approval, blah, blah, blah. Well, then I got something else for you, Chuck E. Cheese. If you're concerned about him not being elected, who is or who are or who were the people or person, because we don't really know for a fact, that were running the puppet strings for Biden? Who was running the U.S. government for the last 4 years? It wasn't Kamala Harris. She doesn't have the brains to do it. And what sure wasn't Joe Biden. He's short. His elevator doesn't run all the way to the top. So who was running it the last 4 years? The fact of the matter is, that was concealed. That makes it even more heinous, if you're going to use that word, left, that it's a heinous activity, these dastardly deeds that are being done here by Elon Musk. I don't really know how he fits, but the president's able to have advisors. And yeah, he's demanding things. You see, this is what's so different about this president. This president and his biggest aide, Elon Musk, I don't think either of them have ever worked for anyone else. They've always been the boss. And bosses function differently. They don't have to suck up. Now, they're on a more of an even plane, so to speak, with foreign countries and diplomats and heads of state. However, not in Trump's mind. You know, he's big on American exceptionalism, which means that sort of like that bumper sticker I used to see, my kid can beat up your kid. My team, our country is better than your country is what this comes down to. I don't know if that's true, but we're stronger and we're going to get stronger yet. So we can help and secure our borders and secure the prosperity for our children and grandchildren and generations to come. So Musk is out there to shrink the government. The Trump administration, obviously it's with Musk's influence, but it's not Musk doing it. It's Trump. I mean, this whole idea about, these videos that I've seen of people, Trump says Musk is already so bad he should be impeached and things like that. Well, it's Trump making the ultimate decisions. Advice? Yeah. Just like any president gets advice from a whole bunch of unelected people. The unelected people just don't happen to be the richest man in the world. So he's offering these buyouts to 2 million federal employees. This is just unprecedented. It excludes military and postal workers. Now, this is what I find intriguing about this. People say, oh, well, you got to have the military and you got to have the postal service. You want, those are two of the very, very, very few functions the federal government even has constitutionally. So this isn't just a matter of convenience or the wheels will fall off if we don't have a military and a postal department. Well, it probably would. And that's why the founders, the ingenious founders of our Constitution, put those things in the Constitution as federal duties. Because you can't leave that to the states. You can't leave the military to the states. You can't leave the postal service to the states. And that's what they have left out of the buyout thing. We'll keep the ones who are actually constitutionally placed inside of our government. So the employees who accept are going to get 8 months' salary for agreeing to leave their jobs. Now, I've heard some say, what a waste of money for people who aren't even there to give them buyouts. I want to know what's a waste of money? Having all those people still in their job who aren't doing jack, squat, crap, diddly. They're useless. And then having them hang over after 8 months. To me, it's a net zero deal. It's a zero-sum analysis. They aren't doing anything. They aren't worth their money. And if they stayed, they're dead weight hanging around. And if they go, yeah, you pay them. But you get them out of your hair and you start closing some offices, start getting the rent down in some buildings. Maybe you dump the leases on government office buildings. And these are the same tactics Musk used with Twitter. He offered employees a dead weight, the losers, the ultimatum. You know, you work harder or you beat it, punk. So the Department of Government Efficiency is going hog wild, and I love it. He said, I'm going to quote him, the federal workforce should be comprised of employees who are reliable, local, trustworthy, and have a penchant for excellence in their daily work. We already know that they don't, because they're not wanting to come back to the office. They want to dink around at home, work on their computer with their pajamas on in the bedroom. I don't know what they're doing, but neither does anybody else. And we pay billions for these losers. This is Musk's management style. It demands excellence and unwavering commitment. And the reason he and Trump, they won't be together all the time. Musk will leave at some point. He'll be on to a new gig. But he's got a job right now, which he has to do fast and furious, in my opinion. They have to move fast and furious. They've got to get this done to keep people's heads spinning. The leftist journalists don't know which way to go. They're gasping for air. They don't know what's hit them, except that they know that it's hitting them from all sides. And this has to be done before warm weather. Why do I say that? Warm weather, the rowdies, the losers, the whiners, the complainers, the BLM, the Antifas, you name it, they'll be out in the streets, blocking freeways, not just in fair weather LA, which they did last week, but in places like Minneapolis, where it's right now 8 degrees, or Detroit, where it's 12. No, they're gonna save their protest till it gets a little bit more comfy out, and they can get organized, and George Soros can bring them hot dogs and coffee while they're blocking freeways. That's coming. It absolutely is coming. So the National Federation of Federal Employees say, you know, this is the most reliable workforce out there and blah, blah, blah. What a bunch of baloney. What a bunch. Well, he said to the employees, quote, absolutely do not resign. There's nothing that says that the day that you resign that they can't just go and fire you anyway. They don't have to pay you. There's nothing that says that they have to pay you till September 30th. Nothing. So they go on to say that critics are saying this initiative will impact national security due to the potential downsizing of critical departments like the State Department. Okay, so it's a security risk to dump half the State Department. We know from Hillary Clinton to you name it under Biden, the State Department fully staffed is the security risk, not at half staff. There's more security with an understaffed security with the State Department. Next, oh boy, hang on. I'm gonna have to shift into third or fourth gear here because I won't fit all this stuff in if I don't. Trump planning to cut off the American subsidies for a whole bunch of UN operations. Oh my gosh, starting with the loser United Nations Human Rights Council, the one that simply votes with a whack job terrorist Islamist and always votes against anything Israel. If there is something, they would vote against hot dog stands in Jerusalem if that were an issue for a UN vote. Well, of course, considering most hot dogs have a high content of pork, most Israelis would not really probably want it anyway, but that's a side point. Next one. The United States Agency for International Development, USAID. You said what? Well, you said and Musk said, this has got to go. They're useless. They're counterproductive. They're anti-American. You know what I'm looking for is to see the day that the national debt clock slows to a halt and begins to reverse. Oh my gosh. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Well, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to mix my gospel songs with my political songs, I guess, whatever. So anyway, this last week, staff at the USAID, as a result of the Department of Governmental Efficiency, told Trump he needs to close this sucker down, the entire government agency. They woke up this past Monday with emails instructing them to stay away from the D.C. headquarters. I want to quote Elon here because it's a great quote. He said, it became apparent that you said he's speaking about is not an apple with a worm in it. What we have is just a ball of worms. You've got to basically get rid of the whole thing. It's beyond repair. We're shutting it down. And what was their budget for the last fiscal year? $40 billion that they just go and hand out cash to over 130 nations, which are complaining now. Where's our money? Where's our bread money? Look, what does Scripture say? Those who don't work shouldn't eat. Why do we just hand out this stuff all the time while we go deeper and deeper in debt and I pay taxes, you pay taxes for what? To feed people? It's not feeding people. What they're feeding them is garbage because they will make the distributions of money contingent upon these nations taking up queer ideology, abortion, queer LGBT garbage, $50 million for condoms in Gaza? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Oh, they also suspended the agency's webpage. Musk went on to complete his comments with, USAID is essentially a criminal organization. And Trump had earlier, if you think that that was or originated with Elon, it did not. Trump said, this agency is, quote, run by a bunch of radical lunatics and we're getting them out. And then we'll make a decision on its future. So everybody's saying there's already chaos in the department because Trump ordered a freeze on most U.S. foreign aid for 3 months. Yeah, why do we hand out millions, billions, all over the country? Do we have to buy peace? Isn't it time that, you know, if you want to send over some people to train them how to work in limited capacity, they'll let private organizations do that. Isn't that kind of what the Peace Corps was? Was that the source of these problems? Well, you know, Mexico says we're going to have our own tariffs against Trump. The trade war is on. Well, yes, the tariff war was on for, about 46 hours? And then Trump has a pause in tariffs. Why? Because it looks like he's getting what he's demanded. 10,000 troops to the border to control illegals and the flow of fentanyl into this country. Panama. Panama said, there's no way, Jose. Of course, they're the Jose. But we're going to give you the Panama Canal back. It's not for sale. We're not giving it back to you. So Trump talks tough. Well, we'll just take it militarily. I got to tell you, Marco Rubio, he is doing a ridiculously fabulous job. With this guy, of course, he speaks fluent Spanish. And he's down there from Tijuana South, from the Mexican border all the way into Argentina. And Argentina, what did they just do the other day? I don't know. They did something that was just right out of Trump's playbook. I wasn't going to talk about it, and I guess I can't because I don't remember now. But they just did something fabulous. Trump is inspiring these activities and strong decision-making by the few solid conservatives that exist around the world, like Viktor Orban in Hungary, the guy's elated with Trump's victory and undertaking certain things that he knows now that Trump has his back. He can say it, he can do it, because the UN can't push back on him, because otherwise, if they do, Trump just pulls the plug on some more UN funds. But what did Panama do? After all this bloviating and blustering, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, they've done two things. They are not renewing a certain infrastructure agreement that they had constructed with China, which is one thing Trump says, hey, if we got to attack you to protect ourselves and take over Panama Canal so that China doesn't control it, we'll do it. They just said they're going to cancel it. And the other thing Trump was ticked off about was, Panama, you're raping our shipping companies. You're charging us more than other companies because, you know, we got the money. Well, guess what? Panama has agreed the other day to reduce the shipping rates. I simply have to say, I think that Donald Trump already is the greatest American president, at least the greatest modern American president, maybe the greatest president of all. Nobody has had problems like this guy's inherited that I honestly think are even worse than what Abraham Lincoln faced with the Civil War. But anyway, but I'm going to pick a difference with Donald on something that he said, but then I want to lay out why this guy is so good. Gosh, is he smart. I had no idea he's really as intelligent as he is. These Oval Office interviews are blowing me away. Couldn't have them with Joe because that was where he went to take some of his naps. But I don't, this whole idea about buying Gaza or owning Gaza. Well, I don't like it, but I got to tell you why I don't like it. But then I'm going to tell you why I really truly believe he's doing this. First reason I don't like it is Gaza doesn't belong to us. Biblically, historically, it belongs to Israel. It did in the early days, Deuteronomy makes it clear that it belongs to Israel, not to the U.S. So I sure wouldn't want to stick a bunch of money in there and then turn it over to Israel, even though I think you can trust Israel, to then have them, for whatever reason, turning over to the Palestinians. We end up with another Panama Canal deal. We sell it for a buck. But it doesn't belong to us. Now, the other thing here I want to mention before I get to where I think he's going with this strategy, and that is only that. I don't think it's a goal. It's a strategy. Or maybe better yet, it's a tactic to an end game, which is forms a strategy. It's the difference between strategic and tactical. Strategic is your end game. Tactical is how you get there. But all these countries that are saying, I mean, there is no country that supports us. I don't even know what Netanyahu has said. Maybe he's just been kind of mute. He's just been quiet. He's very muted on this. Maybe he said something since I went on the air here 20 minutes ago. I don't know. But they're all of the countries around them said this is horrible. It's terrible. This is ridiculous. They've got to be, well, you know why they're saying that? The real reason that the Arab countries are coming unglued with the thought of Trump or the U.S. taking over Gaza, it means because the Palestinians will have to go somewhere else, and nobody wants them. The Palestinians, Gaza has been sort of like the family down the street where everybody's been on welfare for the last 40 years. Generational welfare. They suck up a ton of UN aid, a ton of our aid, and other countries. And then Hamas disproportionately hogs it. That's why they don't want them. Saudi Arabia doesn't want them. Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Lebanon doesn't want them. Everybody has said that, look, this is a bad idea. You don't do take over Gaza. But that's the reason. Because the Palestinians got to go somewhere. And nobody wants their tushes being a drag on their economies when they come to town. At least that's my take. Now, why do I think he's doing this? There's two reasons here. One, understanding Trump is a real estate guy. And I've said this before. Think about what he's talking about. Well, take back Panama. Well, that's real estate. Maybe Canada should be the 51st state, which I don't think he really believes, but he's throwing it out. He does want Greenland. We need Greenland. Heck, and while we're on this, why don't we take Gaza? If you read Art of the Deal, that's all Donald is doing. Our enemies and even some of our friends, so-called, would do a lot better. They would get a lot, there would be a measure of understanding if they read the Art of the Deal. He hasn't changed. You shoot high. And then you negotiate down. If you want reduced shipping rates through Panama and you want the Chinese butts out of there, what do? You go high. You tell Panama, we'll take it by force. Well, that's not really what he wants to do. But you start with that, then you negotiate down, and guess what? Here it is. In a couple of weeks, the shipping rates are coming down, and the contract between Panama and China is getting canceled. You got half of Greenland that wants to become part of the United States. I don't know where that's going. Canada, I don't really want them. I don't think he really wants Gaza. But I'll tell you, if you want to bring a lasting peace and force it down the throats of people who've been just sucking up resources and assets for anybody who will give it to them, like the Palestinians, via the UN and other countries, tell them we're coming to town. We're taking over. It is a negotiation move. It is a tactical move towards a strategic end of a better and more lasting peace in the Middle East. Wow. All right. Some other good news. I love this. Trump is on the verge of settling for $10 billion, a lawsuit against 60 Minutes for, guess what, election interference. Oh, my, my, my. As they edited all the really damaging parts of Cammy No Brains Harris interview on 60 Minutes so they could try to get 60 down to a cogent, understandable 12 or whatever it was. Election interference. And they're going to settle. They're going to be paying Trump. I like this. Trump going around suing people that screwed him during the election. Senior FBI leaders have been told to get out of Dodge by Trump. Federal employees told to remove their pronouns from the email signatures by the end of the day that order was given, which I think was last Friday, which what day would that be? That would be the 31st of January. I think that's when it was. And some got it a day earlier. Department of Transportation, they got the notice on Thursday, a week ago this past Thursday. So the employees were told to remove pronouns from everything, from government grant applications to email signatures, over the whole department, employees of the Department of Energy. They got the same notice on Thursday. They're told that this was to meet requirements in Trump's executive order calling for the removal of DEI language and federal discourse, communications, and publications across the board. Get that crap out of here. Oh, my gosh. It's just, and we're not even to some of the very best stuff. Because some of the best stuff now is Trump's, gosh, sweeping orders for one of the worst organizations in D.C., one of the worst, the Department of Indoctrination. I meant Department of Education. He wants I don't like that. I wish people would quit using the word progressive. It's nothing progressive about it. Unless it's progressive to go downhill into the abyss in a mud hole on your way to hell. If that's progressive, then call it progressive. It's regressive. The regressive ideologies from school hallways and classrooms. This is what, as what Donald would say, is huge. With a Y. So, Trump has been such a blessing. Here this time around. The first time around, he hit on a few moral issues. He's not against queer marriage. And he wasn't, and he didn't come out to support it, but he didn't oppose it. He had some opposition to abortion. This time around, man, it's sort of like Jesus got a hold of him. That's kind of what it sounds like. I mean, there are moral ripples and sometimes moral tidal waves emanating from these various executive orders because he is so against the indoctrination of our children, maybe less so as to some of the sexual things other than the tranny crap, but more in the radical anti-American racist and now gender ideologies. That wasn't really around his first trip through the White House. Don't go away. We are just getting started. I can't believe we're halfway through this program. Be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
Ah, we're back. Okay, so talking about the executive orders, three of them actually that dealt with the Department of Education. Along with all the other things, would apply to other agencies as well. As far as, you know, we got two genders, get away from these personal pronouns, the me, the us, the they, the them. Knock off that garbage. But the people who are coming out against these executive orders, the Democrats, we just had a song about them, right? Yeah, that's why I played it. They're condemning these orders because they say this is an attack on the LGBTQ RSTUVWXYZ students. And on the accurate teaching of U.S. history, specifically concerning slavery and racial justice. You know, the problem here has been that that's been about all government education has been. Is LGBT crap and slavery and racial injustice teaching and perverting U.S. history. Nothing good, all bad. The goal of some of the government schools, make sure these students hate this country by the time they graduate. And then they get finished off in college. So the order calls for, and I'm quoting here from, I don't know what story it is. It actually came out of Yahoo. I don't quote Yahoo, but they're just saying the order calls for schools to provide students with an education that instills a patriotic admiration for the United States, while claiming the education system currently indoctrinates them in radical anti-American ideologies while deliberately blocking parental oversight. Okay, so they claim that the order claims that the students are forced to adopt identities. That's what the order is saying, that the students are being forced to adopt identities as either victims or oppressors, solely based on skin color and made to question whether they were born in the wrong body. You know, it was a while back, but I think it still is true, that there was a survey of the 15 most developed world countries. Actually, it was testing of students representing 15 of the most developed Western countries. And at the result, at the end of that test, out of the 15 countries, the United States students, when it came to math, science, and a couple of other pretty critical things, they finished number 15 out of 15. But they finished first in one particular category, and that was a category of which country students felt that they really, truly nailed the exam. Which country students felt that they did the best and that they would be number one? It was the U.S. students. We're number one. In reality, they were number 15. We're first, but they were last. And that was about 12 to 15 years ago. So the left is saying, I'm not going to quote this guy too much, but saying that these practices only erode critical thinking. No, it's what's critical is what's going on there now. non-thinking. But he said this erodes critical thinking, but also sows division, confusion, and distrust, which undermines the very foundations of personal identity and family. In other words, what the left is saying is that Trump's order will do actually exactly what the left has been doing for a long time. I still love Vivek Ramaswamy's idea, simply eliminate the Department of Education. So how can you get rid of it? Easy. You just don't put it in a funding bill. You don't put it in the budget. You don't put it, nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. Goodbye. Got a lot of real estate we can sell. A lot of people go home, try to find a real job someplace else and go back to the States. Well, the left says this is designed to demean transgender and LGBTQ students by denying their existence. That's interesting, isn't it? So the left says, if you don't talk about our queerdom and our sodomy and all this stuff, you are denying our existence. Could I go through 975 things on a list that schools don't talk about that honestly, seriously, that doesn't deny their existence? Come right up to the top. Would you say that not talking about the Christian roots to this country then denies its very existence? That's what they're saying here. You're denying the kids' existence. The LGBT kids are the ones who think they are. They don't no longer exist because we aren't talking about them. This is the reprobate mind of the left. Really, they are just running on no cylinders. One of the next orders here, which I'm not going to go into great detail on, that just speaks well of Trump. It's one of the reasons we will be blessed as a country, notwithstanding the pushback, maybe the riots, who knows, maybe the Civil War. I mean, you know, sometimes it's painful to get things straight after you've screwed up for so long. The path to righteousness, the path to freedom comes with pain. I mean, isn't that what the Civil War taught us? There's a lot of blood to be shed, a lot of young men to die, to bury, to get this right. Well, this particular executive order has added measures that deal with combating anti-Semitism. This is, I've said it so many times, but the blessing on by us on Israel is part of why, it's probably our ace in the hole. I know there's some people out there that disagree with my analysis on that, but having been anti-Semitic before Jesus saved me, before God saved me, and with a snap of a finger in a nanosecond, I fell in love with the country after I got saved and that miraculous salvation experience, I know of whereof I speak. It takes most people to do a 180 time. It took me less than a nanosecond. And the third executive order, which I love this, but I've been pushing for this forever, called the Expanding Educational Freedom and Opportunities for Families Order. I'm just going to quote it here. It says, seeks to make available federal funding to expand education options for private, faith-based, or public charter schools. To create well-designed education freedom programs that will improve student achievement while causing nearby public schools to improve their performance. When our public education system fails such a large segment of society, it hinders our national competitiveness and devastates families and communities. But the part that I picked up on, and I love this, is that it will improve student achievement while causing nearby public schools to improve their performance. When I pulled my kids out of government schools, which I thought, you know, this is educational malpractice, child endangerment, child neglect, child abuse for me to have him in this government school after I listened to the teachers 30 years ago? That's how long it's been. Well, maybe 35. I'm not. Who's counting? I'm not. But the point I made so frequently back then, when running for office in California and pushing for a voucher system and educational freedom, I said, look, the public schools aren't really public. They're only for those who go along to get along with the theories, the indoctrination that goes on in those schools. But its success is only marginal because it operates in a vacuum. It has no competition. That's why government education systems and unions hate private schools, hate voucher systems, hate charter schools, because they're going to be forced to compete, and they can't. And they're going to see that they suck, and they're not going to be able to get any higher than 15 out of 15 on international testing tests and standards, because they're spending all their time woke, talking about woke crapology and dealing apparently with the sexual sins of the teachers that they don't feel any better and they can't resolve unless they teach their students to engage in the same behavior they do. But of course, I say that with all due respect. Next. Boy, oh boy. Transportation Secretary Duffy. He's starting to revoke various emission rules. You know, he said the other day, he said the problem with the science behind so-called climate change is that it's actually not science. No wonder they've, you know, the left has got to look at all of these cabinet members, and with every single one of them's goal will be to destroy another pillar of the leftist, woke, Marxist agenda that functions in the deep state right on down to our high school and junior high and some elementary teachers. Now, I've got to say something here. Do not take what I'm going to say as advice. I am not a stock market guy. That is not my strong suit. Maybe I don't have one. I kind of like dirt. That's what I like. I like dirt. Don't even like buildings. I like dirt. Land. But when this came out, you know what I did? I went out and I bought two oil-related stocks. And I already got a, only have a couple of stocks, but I bought two more. I thought, gosh, you know what? Under Trump, I think we're going to have a robust oil and gas industry. We're going to have a robust oil and gas discovery, supply line, materials producers that deal with oil pipelines, at least for a few years. And I will tell you something else. If you look at companies like Exxon, Occidental Petroleum, but you get down to Halliburton and various oil delivery operations, they are some of the most godly conservative publicly traded companies that exist. So, again, I'm not giving you advice, but I am saying if you are interested in having your values more or less line up with your investments, it is one of the few sectors in our economy that lines up biblical values in their governance, the governance of that corporation. Do they always do better? No, not always. I have some stocks that, gosh, if I had held on to them, horrible, immoral companies that have done fabulous. But I got to sleep at night. As a stockholder, you own part of that company. Which I should add here, I said this before, and we're going to get on to some other things. While I am doing some criminal law, I have not moved away from my estate planning and kind of real estate law, contracts, mediation, settling disputes in three states, California, Arizona, and Michigan. So if that's something that you think that I could help you with, I'm just throwing this out. You can contact me, redskyradio777@gmail.com. Now, this one is so concerning, but it doesn't surprise me. Dick Durbin, man, what a loser from Illinois. He said, we need to encourage government agencies to defy Trump's DEI orders. And he's only one of them. You got Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. You got Maxine, I can't fix my wig, Waters on TV telling people to push back, to not do the job they've been called up for, they're hired to do, to defy orders. And they have the audacity to call J6 an insurrection, never proven and untrue. And yet this is exactly why what the Democrats are doing are unofficial insurrections in various agencies. Push back. Don't do the job. Just sit with your feet up on the desk. I don't know what they're saying. Defy the DEI orders coming from Trump in all these agencies. Next step, just fire them. California, I don't know why I put their, I think my dog's a Democrat. Here's a couple more. California ballot initiative has gained enough signatures to be on, not gain enough signatures, the ballot initiative has been approved to get the signatures to put secession for the state of California on the ballot. Democrats, the death cult, Democrats, 204 House Democrats vote against giving life-saving treatment to infants who survive abortions. Do you wonder why I call them the death cult? They love death. They love blood and death. Kill all the kids in the womb. I had an abortion and I got to feel better about it, so I'm going to support abortion rights. Otherwise, if we don't support it, I'll go on a guilt trip. My own, self-inflicted. I don't know what it is. But they support death on the birthing stool, euthanasia, death, frankly, emotional and spiritual death through gender mutilation, rendering kids unable, in some cases, to have children. They like death in all of its colors, forms, and flavors. 204 vote against it. Only one did not vote against it. Represent Vicente Gonzalez, a Democrat from Texas, voted present. He didn't vote for it. He just didn't vote against it. I got to correct myself. And what does the bill do here? Quoting from my source, it directs healthcare practitioners to operate with the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence for a baby born with a heartbeat after an abortion as you would during a normal birth. Doctors who run afoul of the rule will be fined and maybe imprisoned for up to 5 years. Tom Emmer, one of the remaining Republicans in Minnesota, said, requiring medical care for babies born alive after a failed abortion isn't controversial. It's common sense. And then he makes a misstatement here. The fact that Democrats would rather support infanticide than vote in favor of this bill shows how extreme and out of touch their party has become. Well, they are out of touch, but the problem here is the gross immorality that actually is embraced by a lot of Democrats. The reprobate minds that have become their defining characteristic and which will make its ugly head ever so vocal in the months ahead here as they are already preparing for 2028. And last, well, not quite last, we have, you know what, I'm going to save this for next week because I got to say something else here at the end. I have concerns for this country. I'm concerned. There's so much good news. It's easy for us to just just release and let go and go back to what we were doing, which we need to do, to go to baseball games and church and have potluck dinners with friends over and all those things. But I just don't want people to think that, okay, we got Donald, we got Elon, that's it. We don't need to do anything more. We don't need to pray. My first ever radio program was in L.A. in 1997 on a Christian station, where I said this country is going to split, and whether it's secession or civil war or both, I don't know, but it's inevitable. I picked a date. I was wrong. I said about 2015. That was in 1997. But it wasn't intended to be a shock radio spot I was doing. But I can tell you that the station didn't like it. They never asked me back, even though I premised my whole analysis on the Bible, on 1 Kings. So I want to tell you, these are the things you have to kind of understand are going on a little more quietly than anybody's talking about. Because have you noticed that there is actually a little less, there's less push for gun control right now? It's not occupying the headlines like it did every 8 minutes by the left-wing media and Joe Biden, always talking about it. Oh, those people slaughtered. We need gun control. Take away the assault weapons. Oh, I'm sorry. They were all stabbed with a knife. Get the facts, Joe, before you start opening your mouth, because his brain has a disconnect with his tongue. But it's no surprise that while there continues to be some push for more gun control, it has slowed remarkably. My explanation, what I'm contemplating or what I'm speculating, it's because right now the left, and particularly the extreme left, and as Trump keeps pushing, more leftists will become more extremist leftists, they are the ones buying arms themselves. They are the ones being encouraged to do so. They're the ones that are, as I was just telling you, to push back and defy the DEI programs. And understand, this is a classic Marxist approach that is more subtly being pushed in this country right now, and that is this: to use the tools available, which in this case would be the access to guns, to overthrow a government, which when it's overthrown, that government will then outlaw the very tools that they use to overthrow the government so that they remain in power. That is Marxism 101. We're going to create chaos. We're going to disrupt all sorts of things. But we could also use some guns to facilitate the chaos so that when the chaos is so horrible, people are going to call for just what they did in 1930-whatever Germany when Hitler burned the Reichstag but blamed it on the communists. The people sucked it up and said, oh my gosh, this chaos, they're burning our government buildings. We got to give Der Führer more power. They did, and you know the rest of that story. You see, there's no difference between Nazism and Marxism. It's the government has all the power and you don't have any. There's no meaningful difference. Anything else is a nuance of irrelevant consequence. They will use the tools given them, whether it's the ballot box, whether it's guns, whatever their rights are, to gain control. And then when they have control, whether it's voting rights, because it'll be fixed elections, whether it's gun rights, it'll be confiscated, they will then take away the rights that they actually use to gain control of government, so that they now, with the illegality of the guns, the unavailability of true and free elections, that becomes their means to maintain control. So I appreciate Trump's high-speed wrecking ball and to do as much as possible before the weather warms and we launch into the summer of extreme discontent, where it's warm enough for these leftists to block freeways and buildings and you name it. They'll do it everywhere. That preceding the government overthrow, these Marxists well know They have to create anarchy. Increasingly removed from the deep state positions, anarchy is going to be their tool. So Trump has to not let up for 1 second, not 1 second. Because, you know, an axiom of war is when you have an enemy on the run, you don't stop. Because winning isn't just having them on the run, it's finishing them off with the advantage that you've gained by having them on the run. But where we have fallen, and we have fallen for this trap over and over from World War II on, we tend to think that the perception of winning is the equivalent of actually winning. It is not. Be in prayer, be vigilant, be diligent. Be in the Word, be well trained. God bless you. Remember, you sit tall in the saddle. That hasn't changed. We got to ride. And you ride for the brand. The brand is the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.